The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope pod to step to. We Want Winners is back, y'all. I do need to apologize because the last time we recorded, I was like, we're going to be back weekly. We're not going to miss it. And then after the show, you were like, oh
yeah, I forgot.
I forgot. I have a vacation coming up. So,
you
know what? After watching those preseason games, I was not unhappy that we did not have to record. The NFL preseason is a nothing burger because of how they do the regular season. Like, they don't do anything for these games. So, sorry about that. But season starts next week. So, we will be here from here on out. How was your vacation, by the way?
It was awesome. It was 15 days, 5 countries. It was nonstop. And you want to talk about only thing worse than sitting down and watching those preseason games is waking up at 3 a.m. to watch those preseason games. Awful, awful, awful. Yeah. So yeah, that was, yeah, there was nothing much to mention, but yeah, I'm glad we are back. And you know, what is it? What season is this for us? Is this 3?
Yeah.
Second? Yeah, this 3rd season, right?
Yeah,
I think
the first season. The first season. Now, if you want to be, if you want to be a little whether or not we are lucky at all, first season, team goes to the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. Second time we do this. Team goes to Super Bowl. The only thing we have left that we have not done is for them to actually win the whole thing. So
knocking on the door. So yeah, it's good. And I think we came back at a good time because there's actually stuff to talk about. You know, we got a roster. We've got a wide receiver now. So yeah, it's good. I'm glad to be back.
So I guess we should talk about Ayuk, but before that, I want to just give out our schedule for the next 2 weeks, because the NFL has this like really funky schedule thing going on. So the season starts on Thursday, like has been the case over the last several years. Did you know that they have a game on Friday as well?
For some reason, now it shows you how close I've been following. I knew there was a game in Sao Paulo, but I just assumed that was a preseason game. I did not realize that was a regular season game and that it was on a Friday before the Sunday. I did not.
So there's the Thursday game, then there's the Friday Peacock game, and then the full slate of Sunday games, and the Niners play Monday night. So what we're going to do, this is kind of our show. We're just getting the band back together and talking about the, you know, the terrible preseason. Not that the 49ers played terrible, just all the news was just so negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But next week after the Sunday slate, hopefully we can go earlier than later. I haven't actually worked out a schedule with you, but hoping that we can go Sunday after the, all of the games before the Sunday night game. And then we'll do a little preview of the season, and we'll kind of talk about the first week of the NFL. And then we'll be back Monday night after the game against the Jets, which should be a pretty big deal. Monday Night Football opening weekend, the Super Bowl, the NFC champions against Aaron Rodgers, someone who we have played often and just absolutely love beating, by the way. There's very few QBs I love beating more than Aaron Rodgers for whatever reason. All right. Now let's talk about this thing. Brandon Ayuk. The last time we had a conversation about Brandon Ayuk, we were both under the impression that it would probably get done earlier than it did. I was like, look, man, like Brock needs his guy. Like if anybody, you know, if there's any other reason to do this thing quickly is so that Brock has his main weapon. CMC out for most of the preseason with a calf injury. And that did not seem to be that big of a deal because we went all the way until August 29th. And I know Adam Schefter had a report that, you know, a little bit over 2 weeks ago, the Niners had a deal and Ayuk did not sign that deal. And then fast forward to yesterday and Schefter's side said that was essentially the same deal that they offered him a couple of weeks ago. Now, I'm assuming that that information is correct. Schefter is usually on the money with his stuff. But my issue was that why didn't we have this thing done, you know, in June or in May or in April or in March? Because then if you knew what was going on in March, then if this wasn't going to work out, then you could have traded him before the draft. And that was also a sign for us, was that they didn't do this before the draft, which if you trade him after the draft is very stupid because then you have to wait a full year to actually cash in your bounty. And so, yeah, I'm still kind of frustrated with how it happened because what the Niners did is they, by signing him so late, they let the market explode right in their faces. And, you know, he's not the top paid guy. And I'll go over some numbers here in a second. But he was paid very handsomely. And I do wonder if you actually start doing business, you know, months and months and months ago, then maybe he's one of the receivers who actually creates the market blowing up for other receivers. And instead of him being the one that gets to cash in because of the market blowing up.
100%. I'm so glad that you aren't like some people who just want to like gloss it over and like, oh, it's done. So I want to do a recap because this was, I think it was poorly handled from the beginning. And like you said, now it's like the he says, she said, we are covering our asses. Schefter says it was 2 weeks. Now then I saw Rappaport say that it is essentially the same deal, basically confirming Schefter's report, but then saying that there was more money up front that was added. So they sweetened the pot to make it more front loaded.
Then it's not, you know, really the same deal to me.
Right. Exactly. And what we are completely ignoring at this point, which is frustrating, is the whole, it's a freaking date on the calendar now, the annual Parag Lowball. It's right yeah. there. So we're going to pretend like this was basically the deal he had all along and he just drug his feet and there wasn't any lowballing. And, you're not going to do that. Like you said, number one, I can't imagine that if they had come to him in March with a serious offer, that the number that they ended up paying would be anywhere close to what this is. Because, you know, the numbers look kind of similar to like Amon-Ra St. Brown's, but BA is getting a whole lot more money up front, which I'm sure is good for him. But from the Niners standpoint, they could have probably saved that money if they had been more serious in the beginning. And this is not, you know, I'm not talking out of school or saying something that everybody who follows. No, this is their MO. They lowball And then finally they get it done. But why can't we just be serious from the beginning to get it done? And, you know, I understand Parag is driving a hard bargain. He's trying to get the best deal he can for the team. But how did that work? Okay, in this case, in the Nick case, how did that work out? In this case, how did that work out? They still, I'm sure, ended up paying way more than they wanted to and could have done something a little, made a little better deal for themselves if they had just been serious from the beginning. But, you know, it all worked out. But, and again, clearly I've said from the beginning, people talk about the salary cap and they got to, man, look, if it's not clear to you by now, and if this doesn't make it clear, if it wasn't clear already, if they want to make it happen, if you have the cash and the willingness and the flexibility, the salary cap is not an issue. It's really not, because you can push money all over the place. You can front load it. You can, because they usually have the cash to make that happen. And they did. They have, you know, and that, you know, Lombardi said it, and it's true. In a roundabout way, they always make it happen. But what we're not going to do is say, like, they make it, always make it happen, like this is seamless and they run it well. It ends up happening, but there was a lot of bumpy and turbulence that happened, I think, happened needlessly.
There is a lot of discussion about whether or not Ayuk being so public on social media about his thoughts and whether or not those were true and whether it was just him trying to sort of play the fan base against the team in a way. Look, I will say this out front, and if you've listened to this show before, you probably understand this. I am always, let's say 99% pro player when it comes to these kind of things, because I think why do I watch football? I watch football because I enjoy watching the players. 100%. I am not, you know, I'm not rooting for Waterbed Jed and how much money he can take home after, you know, after every game. Like, I'm happy that, you know, I'm happy that he owns the team. You know, mm-hmm. He seems to really, really love owning the team. He has made it hard on this franchise in the past. And I know people were kind of harping on that this week, which is, you know, he hired so many of the wrong coaches until Harbaugh became available. And then he and Trent Baalke ran Harbaugh out of town. Probably, you know, Harbaugh could have probably stayed a year longer and he would have eventually flamed out as well. But there was definitely a shift in a power struggle going on there under Jed's watch, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at that point, hiring Kyle and John Lynch after several years of just going on the cheap for these coaches and not working out and Jim Tom Sula and Chip Kelly and this and that. And so finally we get Kyle and Lynch, and the best thing that Kyle and Lynch have done for this franchise is they have created stability. We haven't had this up and down and, oh, you know, this coach is possibly on his way out again, and we haven't signed the right guy. Like, those guys, from the moment that they've signed until now, they have given this franchise stability. And we know that Lynch had been kind of on the fence of leaving and going into broadcasting, probably for reasons just like this. Let me do the broadcasting because this stuff is crazy. So I'm always going to be a little biased towards the players in that way. It's just how I look at pro sports. Jed and Parag, they seem to be very aligned in what they believe. And if Parag helped save, you know, two pennies on the dollar for Jed, so be it. That is his job. But at the same time, I think they have to understand that they look like villains in this situation, in this scenario. The NFL fan base, I will say, is still kind of in the dark ages when it comes to this kind of stuff. I think the NFL, probably more than any pro sport, has a certain fan base that really does kind of root for the owners. And, you know, who is more popular in that Dallas Cowboy franchise than Jerry Jones? Probably nobody. So I understand there is that point of view, but I am never going to come from that point of view. I'm always going to be about the players and the market and them. Because, look, Brandon Ayuk could get injured tomorrow. His career could end. And the Niners are only on the hook for that $47 million, I think. And, you know, and it's a great number to be on the hook for, but it's not 134 or whatever that overall number is that's getting reported. So I'm always going to be on that side. Now, I did think that, you know, if someone had asked me, Ayuk was acting a little peculiar, I guess, did the whole hold in. That was the strategy that he and his agent thought that was the right strategy. And then the Niners finally called them on their bluff right after cutdown day. And then what happened. I just continue to believe that if Parag was serious in negotiations in March or April, this thing wouldn't have gone like it did. And like you said, the Bosa thing happened last year. And next is Brock. Now, maybe the quarterback is a little different, but are they going to try and penny pinch on Brock's deal? Or are they just going to go, look, we understand the market. Let's get this thing done the first opportunity that we can. And then if you're Brock, do you go, you know, maybe we can wait a little bit here. You know, we don't have
Do I want to wait on Dak's deal and see what Dak gets? And then, you know, and then we can talk. So yeah, that's interesting. I think the show actually might be a little bit more interesting if we weren't of the same mind on these type of things. Because obviously that's how I come down on it, is I'm always rooting for the player to get all their bread. And that,
you mean we need like a Skip Bayless?
Yeah, exactly. Plus? We need to, you know, I need to be like
antagonized.
I need to be like Acho and just be out here just inflame and saying ridiculous shit just to inflame you guys. But no, it's just something that, you know, I probably spend way too much time thinking about this stuff, but you just brought up something that I have been thinking about recently. And I, you know, it's been a really successful run for Lynch and Shanahan, but the structure that is set up with Parag kind of handling the business aspect of things, and then Kyle and Lynch, you know, the football operations, you could really see in this scenario and in others, but this one, it really kind of highlighted itself. They're like, it seemed to me that the football guys wanted to just get this done, and they want to get Trent done, but the business side is doing their thing. And I don't know that if and when this thing does end, which it always does. I mean, nothing lasts forever in these circles. You know, coaches and GMs move on all the time. I think it might be that friction that eventually ends up, you know, like you said, Lynch has had opportunities, man. Because I don't need this shit. I can just go, you know, talk to teams
and make more money
on Thursday and then fly in on Friday, on Saturday and do the game and go home and play golf. And, you know, I don't have to do this. Like you say, and make more money doing it. So they have provided us stability. And I think we could talk about, we could nitpick their drafts and whatnot, but I mean, you could look at everybody. I'm at the point where that shit is way more luck than anything else. I mean, there are certain things. What I look at with the team is when they make mistakes, what did they see? And that's something we never know. What did they see? And what went wrong based on the process that led them to get to that place? I'm not really a results guy to say, well, this guy was just bad. Well, maybe they made the right decision and it just didn't work out. But yeah, I think they've done a great job. And I thought BA's agent did a wonderful job. I know some people don't like the public part of it, but I mean, like I said all along, man, he was under contract and wound up having choices. How does that? He was like a mini free agent. I mean, it was, and if the reports are true, if Denver decides to come off of Cortland Sutton, he's in Pittsburgh right now. So yeah. I mean, he got his money, and he got it here, which for me, obviously is a win-win. But I wanted him to get his bread. If they didn't want to give it to him, I would have been sad to see him leave. But I just want them to get their money, because as we may talk about later, because I find it extremely fascinating, this whole private equity thing. The owner's going to get their money. They get it now. And then now, watch, franchise prices are going to skyrocket. So they not only are profiting now, but they get the thing that the players do not get to participate in is the growth of the game that happens on their watch, that the owners definitely get to participate in too, which is why I say F them. They should, you fix the cap, give them all the cash. Don't tell me I don't have enough money, the cap, blah, blah, blah. No, push them to put their cash on the table now, because they are going to recoup on the back end. They're not broke now. And they will generationally benefit from your time and the foundation that you build here now way longer than you will. So I'm all for the players. Get it, take it all, please. So yeah, that's my soapbox.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is DaxRU?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
By the way, I do like that nickname for Jed, Waterbed Jed.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me. So where I got that from is there's an old Heavy D in the Boys album, and it's called Waterbed Hev, and he is in satin pajamas on a waterbed. Mm-hmm. I need someone to Photoshop that. Jed,
yes.
In some satin pajamas on a waterbed. Waterbed Jed. By the way, what you just said about the owners always going to come out on top, there's a good example of what you just said. The Warriors re-upped Steph Curry for $62 million or something like that. And Steph Curry still has like 2 years left on his deal. So it was like to add a third year, an extra year on the deal. And so a lot of people kind of wonder, like, $62 million for a guy in his year 40, age 40 season. Joe Lacob bought the Warriors for $450 million. I think those evaluations, whether or not you believe in them, what could Joe Lacob fetch? What could the Warriors fetch if Joe Lacob wanted to sell? $5 billion? $7 billion, $10 billion. We'll sort of see when the Celtics actually sell, because I know they're up for sale. And what is the reason, what is the main reason why the Warriors franchise price just goes from $450 million to $7 billion? It's probably like 80% Steph Curry. And so Steph Curry is going to get a paltry $62 million out of that, but his value to the Warriors is probably multiple billions of dollars, and he will never see any of that.
Mm-mm. And we've seen it multiple times here in the Bay Area. You could say the same thing with Peter McGowan and Barry Bonds over there at what was Pac Bell, now Oracle Park. Barry Bonds built that stadium, and they spent a lot of years packing that place because of him. And, you know, that's money that, you know, they are, again, that's a whole other topic, is why the fuck did Jed not, why are they dealing with a stadium authority? McGowan, you know, privately financed that stadium. And it's gotta be, if it's not paid off, it's damn near paid off at this point. You know, Lacob, and they've got an ATM over there at Chase Center. Why didn't Jed pony up the private financing to build their own stadium and reap the benefits of it? But they didn't, and I think that's another part of why we find ourselves in these cash situations, is that, you know, they just aren't as, while they make a lot of money and they are one of the glamour franchises of the league, you can't tell me they wouldn't make more money if they didn't own Levi outright and didn't have to share up to what some people say that they have a horrible deal with the Santa Clara Stadium Authority, where it's like damn near 50-50 on revenue. So it, you know, on stuff like the parking and the concessions and all of that auxiliary revenue that places like Dallas and whatnot, that's where Jerry like really cleans up with the team, is all that money that they don't have to share with the other owners. That's just theirs. You know, it's like a cash cow. And the 49ers, because of their structure, they share a bunch of that money. So it's not all of theirs. So yeah, it's really that the business of sports really fascinates me.
Mm-hmm. The reason I think that this Brandon Ayuk thing really resonated with a lot of people is it did remind me a little bit of Colin Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh being scapegoats of the franchise. Like, both of those men were made scapegoats by Jed and Parag. And so when BA is coming up here and all of a sudden, you know, this dude is selfish and, you know, he's not a team player and all the things that he's doing is literally his leverage. Like, that's what it is he's making sure that he keeps his leverage. And if they had to have traded him, which I'm so glad that they didn't, though there is an out on this deal. I think there's like a 3-year mm-hmm. out. So it's sort of like, you know, Debo had to haggle for his cash and they signed him to a shorter term deal. Ayuk's deal might, you know, it's kind of like when Kaepernick signed his deal, it was like, oh, the highest sign. And then you looked at the guaranteed money and you're like, this deal mm-hmm. is almost worthless.
Yeah. Now they haven't reported the actual guarantees on BA. So like you say, we'll see what it actually really is in terms of years and money. But yeah.
So Jordan Elliott from Yahoo wrote that he will earn $46 million in full guarantees over the life of the contract, with practical guarantees reaching $76 million, according to your boy, Mike Florio. And he will receive a $23 million signing bonus with $11 million distributed within 2 weeks and the remainder packaged with his salary. Florio also stated that the 49ers can opt out after 3 years and $76 million, with the structure essentially being year to year after that. Now, the guaranteed money that David Lombardi just reported for wide receivers. So David Lombardi just tweeted, like literally an hour ago from as we were recording, he wrote, and here is the big measure of Brandon Ayuk's deal, more substance than just average per year. And he states, fully guaranteed money for wide receivers: Justin Jefferson, $88.7 million guaranteed. CD Lamb, $67 million. Tyreek Hill, $54 million. Brown, $51 million. Ridley, $47 million. Ayuk, $45 million. So he has six right now when it comes to the fully guaranteed value of his deal.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. I'd be willing to bet my standard large pizza and pitcher of beer that that wasn't a deal that was on the table in May. I'm positive that there was, the guarantees weren't that prior to Jefferson signing and, you know, the subsequent explosion. So, you know, we can argue back and forth on whether or not it was worth it, but you know, I just think that it's crazy that if you can make a mess and make $1 million more, that's more than most people will, you know, gross in their lifetime. I mean, so it's worth it. You know, if you get in it, when we're talking these large figures, you know, a comma makes a huge difference. So I don't begrudge these dudes for doing anything. And that is the smart play. Showing up and being there, because it applies pressure. It just does. You know, because you're forward facing, you're there. So the media is asking them about it every day. And every day, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have to answer the same questions every day. And you could, I don't know from about anybody else, but I could see that it was starting to wear on Lynch. Yesterday, he was about tired of it. You could just tell that he was. So it did not surprise me when I saw that something happened, because they were just, you know, it couldn't just continue this way.
On 49ers plus minus with Matt Barrows and Tim Kawakami, Barrows said that he felt Shanahan really sort of felt the holdout or the hold in after cut day, because they had to prepare for life without Ayuk, meaning they had to keep an extra receiver and they had to cut somebody else that they would have rather kept on the roster had Ayuk been signed before the cut down day. So that's when you're messing with the head coach's roster. And so that was sort of like the last straw for him. It was just like, we got to figure this thing out, because this is affecting, and it's also affecting the livelihood of somebody else. And mm-hmm. and that so, you know, maybe that was the reason why it happened when it did, was just the realization that, man, our roster is worse off because of this hold-in, and we need to figure this thing out. We probably made a player available that who we did not want to make available. So I'm happy that BA got what he wanted. And I mean, it's not about whether you deserve it or not. He's still a young player. Jalen Rose always said, you know, contracts aren't what your worth is. It's about what you have the leverage to negotiate, and that he used all of his leverage to negotiate it. So here's my question for you, which is the Niners have a game in, gosh, what is it, like 10 days or so? Mm-hmm. He hasn't practiced. We obviously know he's a tremendous athlete. I'm not saying he's going to be the BA from last year on game one. He probably will not. But do you think that because the Niners have all of this talent, and you had in recent memory, there's probably been more, but I can think of recent holdouts, or, you know, maybe not fully practicing because of wanting to redo deals. We've seen Kittle, we've seen Debo, we've seen CMC, we saw full holdout for Bosa, we've seen Ayuk, and we have Trent Williams right now. These guys are making sure, because they are so talented, that they are near the top of their position. And do you think that these guys are just fully understanding of business's business, or, you know, are they on each other's side in this scenario? It looks like Kittle was like super happy that the deal was done. I can't imagine that BA comes on that field and anybody really has an issue with what he did.
Mm-mm. Well, if social media, you know, you take social media, where it seemed like, I know it seemed like Debo was really happy. It seemed like Kittle was really happy. Those are the two posts that I saw. I think that they understand the business of it, and
they've had to deal with Parag and Chad too.
It's no coincidence that those two know exactly what it is that he was going through. So yeah, I think that I don't think there would be any problem with him in the locker room, because you know, now we can set the business aside. And I think the same with Trent. I mean, if anybody deserves to get, I think that's one thing, you know, fans, I've been going back and forth with fans since March about the BA thing and whether he's worth it and whether he's not. And like you just said, that doesn't matter. He's got the leverage to get it. I think we universally all agree, except for the weirdos that talk about how old Trent is, when if we get Penei Sewell top, he's still top two tackles in the league, and definitely by far our best offensive tackle. They should give him whatever he's asking for, like right now. I think we all pretty much agree on that. So I don't think that that's even a problem. And like you say, with him missing training camp, I'm sure Kyle can game plan around that, you know, for the first couple of weeks if necessary, to let him get his legs under him. Hopefully, you know, I know JJ can kind of help with that and whatnot. But so I think that by a month in, we won't even, it'll be like a distant memory, hopefully, as long as he doesn't, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't have any kind of, you know, sustain any kind of injury or something, you know, in his ramp up. I think he'll be fine. I think, you know, I just wish, what do you think in terms of like preparing to go all the way? Do you think that the kind of drama that went on this offseason, you know, affects the team anyway? Is there like a drag that it puts on things, or do you just think that, you know, the players understand and, you know, it's, you know, that's something, I'm making some shit up.
I think it's a juicier story. Like, let's say the Niners start out slow. Like, let's say first four games, they go 2-2 right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. The juicier story is probably that, you know, Ayuk held out and he wasn't you know, he didn't practice and he didn't get the reps in and his mind wasn't on it. And Trent, same thing. But really, the reality to me is, since, gosh, we're going back 4 years, we've had a Super Bowl, missed the playoffs, NFC title game, NFC title game, Super Bowl. So that is an extra, what, 11 games or whatever that is, you know, over that time span that other teams have not had to play.
That's like three or four months.
These are all the guys who are involved in that, who are kind of coming up dinged, except for CMC. CMC was not, but you know, he himself was used a ton in Carolina. And so, like, yeah, I think if there is a slow start, it's probably more about just the mileage that these guys have put on over the last, and 'cause that's part of getting there. And we saw that. Now, the NBA is not as crazy vigorous of a sport as the NFL is, but, you know, the Warriors got to 5 finals in a row, and then Klay Thompson's knee just gave out, and he was done. And Kevin Garnett's Achilles just went out, and he was done. And it was like, okay, this is what attrition is like. So this is why, and we've been talking about this in the Discord with our guy Shelvin, this is why it was so important that they do this, because if you give them, let's even give them a 2-year window to do this before they have to do a lot of rehauling. That is a small window to just go, we got to give it everything. And then you have to have luck on your side with injuries, and then you have to have, you know, other opportunities, because your roster is very top heavy. So you're going to have some young players who are going to have to play above their level in order to make it happen. Lots of things are going to have to happen correctly for the Niners to actually win that Super Bowl championship. On paper, on the chessboard, they have the right pieces. And you could say, at least in the NFC, unless you're Gaga over Detroit or Gaga over Green Bay, both teams the Niners had to get through, the Niners probably still have the best opportunity to get back to that game. So I don't know if they will be able to go through this again 2 more times and get all the way into the playoffs and lose, and then come back in year three from now and go, we have the same guys. It's more than likely going to be a lot of roster turnover at that point. So I'm glad that they are pushing that off for a couple years, because if you had no BA and if you had no Trent, you might as well be starting that clock now. And they did not, at least with one of those two. And I think, you know, you and I have both said, outside of quarterback, Trent Williams and Nick Bosa are the most important players on this team. So they need him.
There's zero chance that Jalen Moore is the starting left tackle of the San Francisco 49ers against the New York Jets. I'll bet whatever you want to bet. There's just no way they can allow that to happen. It just, I can't, because you're not serious about being a contender. I said that about the BA thing, but it's even more apparent with Trent. You're not, if you don't have him on your team and don't have a viable replacement for him, you're just not being serious about winning, because it's just, you know, and that's no disrespect to Jalen Moore. I'm sure he's a great guy, and he might have ended up being a decent football player, a good football player maybe, but he's not Trent Williams. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's just not. And you can just see statistically, you can make the case for how much better the team is when Trent is out there versus not. And when you look at the run game and what happens to the left side and how he's just an anchor. He's an anchor that kind of makes everybody else better, for the fact that it allows them to scheme different ways to help other guys, because they don't have to have, he doesn't need any help. So, you know, he's got that. So you can do other things in other places to fill gaps. So I just can't imagine that you know, that doesn't get done in short order as well.
Have we, he's handled this thing a little bit differently than BA. Have we even heard any numbers about what he wants to do? Like what is he asking for? Because he's kind of silent. And I heard a number of $4 million in fines that he's accumulated for not showing up so far. Mm-hmm. And that is not, they can't waive those dollars, mm-hmm. but also those dollars do not count against the salary cap. Mm-hmm. So somehow I can't imagine Trent's holding out and going like, yep, I'll pay my fine. He's got to be making that money back in the new deal as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, it's going to be whatever it is plus that. The only thing I've heard is what Deshaun Jackson said. And that, you know, he said it was going to happen quickly, which it didn't. But, you know, the fact that he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
So
whatever. Well, I guess we'd have to look at whomever the highest paid guy is. I would have assumed that he was already close, but maybe that.
He's like six now. Yeah. Okay. He's down to six now. So, yeah. That, and, you know, obviously the big thing is that he didn't have any guaranteed money. So, you know, I would imagine that they're just not going to give him a little cherry on top, that whatever deal they do will reestablish him as the top paid tackle in the league. And rightfully so, man. I've argued back and forth with fans, you know, he's made $180 million in his career. Well, you know what? That's FU money. So what that means, all that means is that $4 million, he's not tripping off of that $4 million. Trust me. You know, so he'll be okay.
He might have $4 million in like Jordans or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I can't imagine, you know, ultimately, you know, I begrudgingly give them credit. You know, they do ultimately get it done. And I said the same thing about the Debo deal, about the Nick deal, about the, you know, IU deal, and now with the Trent deal. All of these places are weird places to me to be trying to draw a line in the sand about who you're going to pay. It just doesn't make any sense why it would come to this for Trent. You know, it just, I don't know. Maybe it's a timing thing, but even then, I don't know if that's allowed in the NFL. But in the NBA, you see it all the time where guys, you know, they agree in principle to a deal pending mm-hmm. other salary right. cap things. Right. You know, so you can't sign them now because you can use this space this one way, and then you can put that place in is like the cherry on top. They do that all the time. I don't know if that's just not allowed in the mm-hmm. NFL, that they could have, all right, we got this BA thing hanging out here, so we can't sign Trent now, but we've got a deal, the framework in principle to take care of him once all this other business is handled. It just seemed to me it would take, if you could do that, it would take the pressure off of, you know, wondering if he's going to be there or if he's not, or, you know, what his status is. Because I just, you know, again, I asked you, I don't know. I just think that that kind of energy it can't help. I don't know that it necessarily hurts, but, you know, it can't help getting to New Orleans. I'm a big believer of everybody being all locked in and moving in the right direction from the jump, and not having to worry about, you know, all of this extraneous stuff that comes around. And 'cause, I mean, we don't even have to worry about the disease of me yet. We ain't won anything. I mean,
at least let us see a parade before we go.
And then everybody can start, you know, wilding out about getting theirs,
and then Jake Moody could get his local commercial,
exactly
for mustache wax or something.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it. Maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So, question from MG Geek, who I know from the wrestling side. He was wondering what our top five is and wonder if the Lions are up there, his Lions. In the NFC, to me, now, you know, I hate doing kind of like preseason predictions because so many things happen during the season that kind of change the trajectory of stuff, but Niners, Packers, Lions, the Packers and the Lions seem really scary to me just because of what they can do on the offensive side of the game. The Eagles were kind of the scary team for us, and then we handled them last year, and I don't know if they've improved too much, but who would you rank in the top five in the NFC?
Well, I'm going to say for... My man, MG Geek, I am all over your Lions. I took them, they're over on their win prop. I took them, again, I'm a Niner fan, but when it comes to my money, there was no value in betting the 49ers to win the NFC or the Super Bowl. It just wasn't, you know. But I thought that they were, the numbers that I got early for them, I thought were crazy because I just think they're a really good football team. I don't think that I think the Niners are the best team in the NFC, but I don't think that the Lions are very far away. And I think the Packers are nipping on their heels. So I think that is probably going to be the best division in the league. The NFC North is probably going to be the best division in the league. I think the team that ends up losing, you know, I'm drinking the Bears Kool-Aid. I think the last place team in that division is probably going to be a pretty good football team. So I like those three teams. And then, you know, I think McVay and the Rams have to be considered, especially, you know, apparently Cooper Kupp is healthy. We saw what Puka did last year. Apparently he's a little dinged, but he was a monster last year. And they say Cup, you know, everybody's kind of writing cloth, you know, from a fantasy perspective. But, you know, McVay has said all along that he wasn't healthy all year long, and he looks good now. So I just think they're going to be a problem as well in the NFC. Those are the teams that I'm really looking at.
Obviously, because of my co-host from Thompson & Clark, Brad is a Rams fan, so I kind of keep an eye on them. No Aaron Donald, obviously, is a big deal. I think we know better than most. They just got to keep Matt Stafford healthy because their backup their backup is Testosterone Jimmy, who is out for the first six weeks. And then I guess
six weeks, huh?
I didn't know. I heard someone say six, but I don't know if that was the case or not. But I guess Stetson Bennett is the number two until
Uncle
Jimmy
Stetson
gets back. So they got to keep Stafford upright, and so I think that means their running game is going to have to be a really big deal. Because if this dude's got to throw 40 times a game and sit in shotgun and come from behind, I think he could get hurt. So I think their running game is going to be really important. But yeah, you know,
how is their third string quarterback older than their first string?
what do you think about the NFC South? Is there going to be a winning record in that division?
All jokes aside, I think the Falcons could be pretty good. I know people, you know, I think people, you know, kind of
Cousins?
Shit on Kirk Cousins, but he's better than anything they had.
Oh yeah,
He's definitely better than Desmond Ridder.
Oh, man.
And their skill position talent, you know, I guess you could say we haven't seen it. So we have to see it. But you know, again, I'm looking at it from a fantasy perspective. But I'm all in on all of them, dude. Bijan, Drake, even Pitts. Give me all of them. I think that I know it's been 2 years in the waiting, and I know people have drafted Pitts high and been disappointed 2 years in a row, but I'm still on the Kool-Aid. If I can get Pitts, I'm taking him. I just think that I think that they can be, and obviously I don't have them in the top five because, you know, at a certain point you just have to prove it on the field first. And you can say, I guess you said it about the Rams, but you know, they have a chip. And those other teams haven't either, but you know, I guess, but the Lions and the Packers gave us everything we wanted last year in the playoffs. So I just, you know, to think that they, I'm not saying that they are above us yet, but to like dismiss them and say that they aren't worthy of being, 1 and 2, I think that's kind of ridiculous. They are good football teams. Which again, as fans, I just never understand why you would diminish, because diminishing the Lions and the Packers kind of diminishes your accomplishment last year. If they're trash, then you just beat a couple of trash. You just were down big to a couple of trash teams and eked them out. I just don't see it that way. I think the Niners accomplished a lot by, you know, beating those two football teams and getting to the Super Bowl. And I think that we have what it takes to, everything is prefaced with, you know, with Trent being here. Cause if he's not here, I don't, you know, kind of all best off. We've got all these, you know, high powered sports cars, but, if we can't get it blocked, I mean, none of that matters. And especially that's why I keep harping on about the offensive line. Even once you get Trent back, if you're going to give Brock this kind of money, it's kind of disrespectful to have the offensive line that we have. You really have to get serious about, and I don't know where you have to cut corners if you don't feel like you can spend the cash, but you have to fortify that offensive line, especially if you're about to get this dude $55 million a year. You cannot have Colton McKivitz out there on his right side, putting his life in danger. Cause you know, you just can't do it. You know, those guys have to be as best as you we can't be having $3 and $5 million offensive linemen protecting 50. It just doesn't make any sense at all that you would have the crown jewel being protected by, you know, grocery store security officers. It just doesn't make sense.
They're trying to sell us on Dominic Toretto Pooney.
I'm not shitting on him. Good for him that he was able to secure this starting right guard. But come on, he's replacing Spencer Burford. I mean, you'll talk about a low bar. I mean, I'm being serious. He was not very good at all. So,
what do you think about Bank in this upcoming year?
I hope so. I mean, he was good his first year, but he definitely regressed last year, and he's been dinged up. So I hope he has a bounce back. And then Brindle is just Brindle. I just think, you know, especially with Brock at center, I think he's too small. I think we need a bigger guy. We need somebody more, you know, he needs someone more like, I don't know, like Alex Mack type, somebody that's just really tough and just that's who Brock needs. I for him, he needs somebody in there that knows that he's not going to be giving him pressure straight up in his face, to let him work, let him do his thing. Cause you know, I get criticized for like, I don't like Brock. I really like Brock. I don't like the Montana comparisons at all, but he's a good football player. And I think in this system, especially with these weapons and talent? Do I have questions about what happens once he's making all that money? And if our receiver core looks like the Chiefs did last year with MVS and Kadarius Toney and the Three Stooges out there, what does Brock look like? Yes, I'm concerned about that. BA goes a long way towards helping that in the short term. But I have concerns. But right now, I think he is good enough to win us a championship if they can keep him upright. And that is my biggest concern. You got to get Trent in. You got to get your scheme right, because you're going to have to help these dudes with the scheme. And he's going to have to help himself to be able to protect himself with these guys in there, because we saw what happened. Who knows? One of the biggest what ifs is, you know, if he doesn't go out against the Eagles, as hot as he was in that stretch when he first took over, who knows? Who knows what could have happened? So, you know, he's going to ultimately, I don't think Josh Dobbs wins us a championship. Honestly, I think, you know, if we're going to get doused with confetti in New Orleans in February, it's going to be because Brock led us there. So
you were talking about the center position, and I was watching the San Jose State game last night. So San Jose State, my alma mater, they brought in a new coach, new head coach, and the new head coach ran the triple option. But coming to San Jose State, they're running this like spread, this like hurry up spread. Like they don't even huddle. They just go right to the line and they call the play, and it's all, everything's in shotgun. So the first two plays, I think two out of the first three plays, first play of the game, brand new quarterback. He looks nervous as all hell. Ball gets hiked over his head. He tips it in the air, catches it, and doesn't realize that he actually did a really good job of keeping it. Like, he didn't waste any time with this snap, but he was so nervous that he immediately just throws it out of bounds in the pocket. Intentional grounding. So then the second snap is also high, but he jumps to catch it. And you know, they may have completed a pass, or I don't remember what happened. And then the third snap goes right over his head. So
that's crazy.
The game now, and this is Sac State coming to your house. Sac State had a bunch of Landry Clark and Matt Saracens on their team from Friday Night Lights. Like that, like they're a good FCS team, but still, like, and they actually took the lead, but San Jose State came back and won the game. But I was just watching this game going, like, how is this possible? Like, these kids, and they're young kids, but still, like, they've been playing football all their life.
That system sounded like it had been good for Brock's brother. Too bad he left.
I know. It would have been awesome. I think that whole thing would have just been amazing if he would have stuck it out.
Yeah.
All right. So let's, for the next, 10 minutes or so, let's talk about this roster. Were there any surprises when it came down to cut day?
I was kind of surprised that Agent Zero got let go. Samuel Womack, I thought, you know.
Yeah, man.
You know, he's been up and down. But in that system, corner, it just kind of takes a while. But he seemed talented. And, you know, he kind of was demo light in that he could play inside and out, which is always flexible. And it you know, the Colts snapped him up real quick. I was kind of shocked by that. And again, the Jalen Graham thing, because I had been hearing good things about him as well. So that was kind of surprising. The two tight ends that need that, Latu and Willis, were both, cut casualties. Was kind of weird. I don't know. I know Willis made it back to the practice squad. I don't know where Latu is. That was really, especially since I thought in that last playoff, that last preseason game, he looked pretty good. Both of them looked good, I thought.
So yeah, that was those are my only surprises. What about you?
Well, just to go back on your thoughts on Womack, I'm just going to be mad because we can't make the "If You Think You're Lonely" now joke anymore. but
that's an awesome,
you know what
nickname?
You know what I heard, and I've heard this from multiple folks. Nick Wagoner was the first one who mentioned it. He said that he thought the cornerback position was actually their best position group this year, better than the defensive line. And that says a lot, because we've been talking about this ever since we started doing this podcast, which is the reason or the way that the defense works is they get pressure and the corners really don't have to sit there in coverage for that long because of the pressure. And that's how it works together. But now if your defensive backfield is more talented than it's been, maybe they take a little bit of pressure off of whoever's going to be the bookend with Bosa, you know, whomever that is, whether it's Floyd or, you know, whoever they put in there. But I think that's a positive. Like, I think Bosa's going to have a bounce back year. And we're just hopeful that somebody on that other side helps him out. I think Hargrave is going to have a better year as well, which will help. But then if your defensive backfield is even better and improved, and maybe even the best position group on the defense, this may be a pretty fun defense. We already know, you know, they're going to have the spot in the linebacker position with Dre out for a little while, and Hufanga's going to probably he's on the roster, but you know whether he's active or not, probably I'm leaning towards no probably, but so they still have some hope with the health. But man, if that defensive backfield is as good as these writers are talking about, that's kind of a fun bonus, and it's something to watch out for.
And they're kind of, I know especially Luder is kind of different than you know the guys we've had, because we really hasn't really worked out when you've got the real like measurement guys, like the real speed guys haven't really worked out for us. But he is one of those physical, freaky kind of players, speed wise. So that if he is playing, and I can't claim to have watched any of, you know, the All-22 on the preseason. I just didn't. And I wasn't out there at training camp this year. So I don't have any kind of feel for any of those, him, Green, any of the new guys. I don't, you know, I just don't. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously they made the team, so they feel good about them. So it's going to be interesting to see. The big thing, I'm a Florida fan, college football, so I've watched a lot of Green play. And that the only thing I've said about him is he is a good player, but he grabs a lot. He really, he's a physical player. And I don't see, that was my question when they drafted him. I don't see anybody in the league that is able to successfully play that way. I mean, he reminds me of Josh Norman, you know, in, you know, circa 2018. And that was his game. He would just get up on you and grab you and jam you. And, you know, he was an all-pro corner until they changed the rules on him. And then all of a sudden, every play was a flag. And, you know, he was here, you know, getting 19 holding penalties in a season. You know, it's just, so that's my concern with him, is I don't question the talent. It's just, has he refined his technique enough to play a large number of snaps in the NFL without getting us penalized, you know, getting us into 3rd and 20 all the time? Because, I mean, that, you know, talent or not, we all know that 3 or 4 of those flags and he is not going to play. Nope. It's just not going to happen. So if he gets that cleaned up, you know, he's a really talented prospect, and the type of physical, real physical player that we haven't seen in a really long time. It's just based on the fact that you really can't play that way anymore. It's interesting. It'll be really interesting.
Well, I guess, you know, the other thing that was unfortunate was Elijah Mitchell having to go on IR, and so he's done for the year. So JP is in that backup spot, and with CMC's calf seemingly still bothering him, JP may get a little bit more action earlier in the season, which will be nice to see. Not that I don't want to see CMC play, but I want to see CMC play, you know, in the playoffs. That I don't really need him to play that much in the first couple weeks of the season. So, but yeah, bummer for Elijah Mitchell, man. Talk about a guy who just has such bad luck with this stuff. I don't know what it is, but unfortunate, because I did like watching him play, but it's not going to happen this year, and who knows. And then another guy, our guy Danny Gray, they were just like nope, this is not happening, we just don't believe it's going to happen on our team, so they let him go.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for when you figure out you're wrong, just be wrong quick and get it over with. I ain't shit on him, because I understand that the draft is not it's an inexact science, but that third round has been rough for us.
Oh yeah.
Trey Sermon, TDP, and now Danny Gray. It just has not really worked out for us in that round. Maybe we should just trade that pick next year and trade and get a couple fourths or fifths. I think we got Kittle in the fifth. Let's go ahead and get some. And I think Hufanga was a fifth round pick too. Why don't we get a couple fifths for a third? Because it seems like we have better luck there. Because that has just been a disaster for us there. So yeah. But I mean, it looks like we've got, you know, we're stacked just about everywhere. I'm hoping that Dre can get back, but apparently Campbell has been playing well, and former All-Pro as well. So that's nice. I just really like Dre Greenlaw. He's like one of my favorite players. So I just want, after the way his season ended last year, I really want to see him get back out there and, you know, just back out there running around. And him and Warner seem to, you know, along the lines of the lineage of Bowen and Willis, they seem to have a real connection that I think is special, and I'd like to see that fully formed, and him back out there just making plays and just healthy. That is something I'm looking forward to do, and Hufanga as well. I hear that the rookie is doing great things. But I hope that, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm getting old, so I like kind of lean towards the vets. So I want to see Huff get back out there and do his thing, and, you know, get himself lined up. You know, because like you say, they've got young players, and we know how the math of that works. If those young dudes can play, they're going to be cheaper and, you know, for longer. But I'd still like to see him get out there, ball out, and, you know, if nothing else, just get his market up and, you know, maybe get him a ring before there are decisions made, you know, along that way. You know, we can talk about the business of that at some other time. But I just want to see him back out there on the field, running around, blowing people up, making plays, because he's just really an exciting and dynamic playmaker that I can't wait to see back out there.
And Cowing and Grendo on the special teams hopefully get some action returning kicks and punts, which has been just not a great position for the Niners for a while.
That's
now.
Good for Cowing. I didn't, you know, the number, I guess because of the BA thing, I think I saw it was 7 that they kept. I mean, but which makes sense because BA took up a roster spot, but like you had mentioned in the open or in our first segment that Kyle, you know, you had to start at this point, you had to start making moves in case it what worked out that he wasn't there. So I was kind of surprised, and I guess his, you know, between that and his special teams, at, you know, the addition to special teams, that's good for him. I'm glad to see that he was able to to make the team. And that running back, that kid, I don't want to mispronounce his name. I ain't got it down yet. Could you say it again?
Garrendo.
Garrendo. Got that. That's not hard. Garrendo. Yeah, he is, especially with this new kickoff, he seems like, you know, because he is out the gate fast. So that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how they can impact our special teams. Because, like you say, that has not been a strength of ours here recently. So, yeah, those are all things that I'm excited about. I guess I've been not really in the loop. What's up with Mitch? What's up with Money Mitch?
He had a knee thing, something going on, but they
cut Harbin. So
it sounds like he's going to be ready.
Yeah.
The other thing is if they do decide, because they have Trent Taylor, I believe, on the practice squad, and then Terrence Marshall Jr. Mm-hmm. on the practice squad as well. If they make more adjustments to their wide receivers, I kind of worry about our guy BBD. He's mm-hmm. not great catching that football. Like, he's mm-hmm. got a lot of drops, and I would be, you know, I root for him just because I like the BBD nickname. And you know, you root for young players to kind of blow up, because that is how you can keep your roster healthy and strong, is with these young players who are outperforming their contracts. But yeah, lots of drops and fumbles for BBD, so he could be the one who's the odd man out.
Terrace Marshall is my guy. He's an LSU guy, and he is super talented. I don't know what has gone on that his career has not gone the way I thought it would. I thought he would be not necessarily, you know, JJ or Jamar Chase. He wasn't as good as them in college, but he was a good player. And I thought that he would, you know, his skill set would transfer to the NFL, but it's just, you know, he has not, you know, really caught on, but he's super talented. So it would be interesting to see. I mean, he's a practice squad player, so who knows, but like you say, I think he might be a guy that might be pushing those dudes. If I don't know what he contributes on special teams or any of that. I haven't followed mm-hmm. him much since his first few years in Carolina, but yeah, I know they've got a talented player there, so it'd be interesting to watch to see how that receive, now that BA is back in the fold, and you know, Pearsall didn't really have a training camp really mm-hmm. And so we really don't know where his health is, so it'll be interesting to see how he mixes in as the season, because it's got to be tough for a rookie to, you know, not really get any kind of practice reps, only get mental reps, and then now you're handed the game plan and, you know, just be ready. Because I can't imagine what his role is going to be from week to week now that the season has started, but it's his responsibility to be ready when his number is called. So I'm just interested to see how he's able to contribute, because he's definitely got a skill set that we haven't seen. We haven't really had a guy like him. You know, he can do Ray Ray things, but he's a much better player mm-hmm. Than Ray McLeod. So it's going to be interesting to see if he gets kind of a Ray Ray package or how they use him. I guess I'm really interested to see how they decide to deploy him in year one.
All right, that is it from here. We are done with our comeback show here. And like I mentioned, next Sunday after the afternoon games, we'll be back with our little 49er preview and also kind of a recap of what we saw in week one. And then Monday night will be our first
show. A little red zone roundup.
I'm hopeful that because I have Hulu Live and I was able to subscribe to the Red Zone feed mm-hmm. for I don't remember how much it is a month, but I hope they offer it again. If not, I'll have to get it through that. I think the NFL app, you can mm-hmm. actually order it through there. So either way,
I'll, that's I'll, what I'll, I did last year. I did not do the ticket for the first time. Because, you know, obviously living in market now, I get all the 49er games, and being able to watch the ticket, I mean, the red zone was plenty enough. Yeah. Between the other games that they show and then the red zone, I was straight. I didn't really, you know, need any, I didn't need to spend the other whatever amount of money it was. So, yeah.
Also, also with the length of the season now and with so many games on Thursday, and then as you get further into the season, there are other games on Saturday. There are some weeks where there are very few games going at once on Sunday. So the red zone channel's kind of struggling.
Exactly. Yeah. Games. Five games on the red zone. Yeah. So yeah, that's and subsequently, like, to your point, there's, you know, games that, well, I've already paid for, because I got Peacock and I got Amazon, and I know, I'm a shill. I got it all. So, you know, Netflix, all of it. I don't, you know, I'm not going to have to buy anything to
subscribe. And here's a secret for folks who watch games on CBS. Now, you'll have to check, because I don't know if they do it for all of the games, but I was able to watch the Super Bowl in 4K through the Paramount app that they did not have for my Hulu feed. So you can play around with that stuff too. And if you're into the picture quality of that stuff. So anyways, all right, we're done here. We'll be back next Sunday. So in about 9 days, and we'll have our preview show, and then we'll have our first post game show of the season Monday night, Niners Jets at Levi's. Monday Night Football should be a pretty good one. All right. For Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace.
Good luck in your drafts, you guys.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.